Rabondo, in the Zodo, and the Yakaporado, at the Lina Lokita, Abelina no Zabragatino no Pragalate, and stop a Kita Pato, and stop a Pongolota, and tender Pronto Cotta, and Jambra Pronto Lante, a Kindo Lito Dotto, and Parande Condorate, and Lekete Lelino Lito, and Porate get the Lekito, and Parababababate. I'm not a paladin. Abalida, Abalida, Ayaga Pada, Apolegate, Legate Nagata Palagata, Ayati da 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 da. Ah, Kelebelebelegate, Ashtabra da Balabala Balabala Balabata, Inenamanagati Legate de Belegate. Ashtabra Balabala Balabala Balabata, Rabala Balagata Balabala Gatalagata Parata Badata, Rabala Gatalagata Parata Lagata 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 Lagata. Shababa, Shabalate, Kenoba, Etika Gata, the palato sugabate, nande geti bagate, laki pogo palate, and the zanagate nanade, ya parababa, rababa la bala 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 Ashtina gada gila gada bala bala gati ne gada la bala te. Ashtana bala 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 gati ne gada pove gada la bala bala ta. La gati ne gada pove gada la bala gati ne gada pove gada la bate. La ne poto kito. Ete de de ti na nata. Ayo gada pove gada. Apala gati na nate. La gina bala gita pove gada nata. E ki ka kota. E pa ka luta. Ayo gete nata. Apani na nito. Rapolo gota opanina. Ayale de pove gada de te. Embosabonde gate, akito to palade, alega polagoza polagatiate, eco pana, yande na 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 te, yampolega de la bala bala bate, ampolega de la bala 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 te. Ashtelele bala bala gati lega de bala gati lega bala te, raki gaki te, leki gepada te, leki lele bala te, pona gati lega bala gati, asaga gata, ashaba baba, aponga late, akila gete, epina nata, epali gote, alakubala shtande kita, raba lega de lega 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 lega, raba lega 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 te, ashaba baba bala bala te, Ramanate na 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 ta, Ramanate na 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 ta, Ramalata balalata, Ramalagata la bala 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 Shunana pila la pila diate, Ekita keba, Oshaga gita, Epala keto, Elina kena, Elabarapa, Etotopana, Ayala gita, Epele lito, Itanina, Aparago pulogoto de dosuna date, Iako brodosa, Iako brodata, Lakita pita, Atenati, Apalato, Ayagade, Ekenata, Aparada, Ikanata, Alivata, Azondete, Alayapa, Apalika, Etinagabolokunata, Abinangati Nogungata, Ayokunda Gandogunate, Apropongo Logosapana, Rabalabalabalabalabate, Rabalabalabalabalabalabate. Shabala bala 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 bata. Atelelelele tina. Atelelelele pada. Atelelele kila pada. Ayolega dele pana. Alugoto vila kata. Alakila vive gita. Asati deti. Asagilate. Ashabalate. Akinanata. Apaligata. Ligribata. Endo sando gonate. Endo kondo panate. La bala 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 bata. Your mother speak in tongues. I shall be Ashtelega delega de la bala bala ta.
Capacity to redeem the human race, and you did in your love to us.
Lord, our hearts are full of gratitude this morning. Audience with God, right? So when we sing in tongues also, we have audience with God. Hallelujah. I'm not singing to the atmosphere. Say that. Say, I'm not singing to the atmosphere. I'm not singing to the world. I am singing unto God, my Father. So you are deliberate about it. You are intentional about it. We are giving praise to God for His goodness, His graciousness, how that He has redeemed man. He alone is worthy. So go ahead and sing in other tongues. Lift up your voices. Our hearts are rendered this morning in thanksgiving. Our hearts are rendered this morning in gratitude, because we see His love. And as His love is explained to us this morning, we'll receive it and we'll burn with fiery love for the Lord. Go ahead and speak in other tongues. You're the one who brings peace out of chaos, brings light out of darkness.
Pastor made us to see how that forgiveness is actually because God loves us and is committed to us. Hallelujah. You know, God has forgiven us all of our sins, and then He gave us the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor said there is something such as the Holy Ghost advantage. You know, because I have the Holy Ghost advantage, I'm always full of results. Hallelujah. Because I have the Holy Ghost advantage, I'm always full of solutions to the chaos of men. Hallelujah. You know, and because I also have the Holy Ghost advantage, I'm always full of joy. Hallelujah. You know, with this consciousness, let's lift up our hands and sing in the Holy Ghost. The consciousness of the Father, we receive the forgiveness of sin.
Today, glory to God. Amen. Not only is he risen,
amazing, you know. And God will then make salvation available. He didn't say bring money. He didn't say bring conduct. He said all you need to do is believe. Say, I have believed. Say, I have believed. I am saved. I am secured. But not only that, God will then put his spirit in man. To secure man, God will then put his spirit in man. To help man to walk in his plan. Hallelujah. Say, it's a master plan. It's a foolproof plan. I am in that plan. I am in that plan. I'm in that plan. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, this is the love of God. Hallelujah. This is the love of God. Say, this morning, as Pastor teaches, my eyes see that love. My heart burns with that love. My heart receives that love. It burns with clarity as that love is explained to me. Let's go ahead and sing another song unto the Lord. You know, this is the reason we can be in constant joy. That the Father loves me. Yes, I know that I'm loved, and I can't even know. Shut up, let it be.
Thank you.
knowing you is what my heart desires. Knowing you is all I want to do. Knowing you is what my heart desires. Oh, knowing you is what I want to do. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you.
to prepare hearts to receive His word. I'm here to know Him. To know Him. Lord, I honor You from my heart. And I'm here to learn Your word. Honor the Lord this morning. Personally honor Him in your heart this morning. Go ahead. Go ahead. Spend some 2-3 minutes ministering to the Lord right there. Opportunities of refreshment. Opportunities of renewal by the Holy Ghost. More precious than silver, Lord, You are more costly than gold, Lord, You are more beautiful than diamonds. There is nothing that I desire compared to You. Lord, You are. You are my precious, and You are my want to know more of your mighty saving power and the mighty hand of your interventions in our lives. We want to know you, your hand of refreshing, your hand of renewals, your hand of revelation, your hand of deliverance, your hand of intervention. We want to know you, Lord. We come with hungry hearts to know you, to know you, to know you day after day, to know you, to respond to you seeking us out, to respond to that hunger of your spirit in our hearts. Lord, we just want to know you. We ask that this morning we're blessed with revelation in your word. Our hearts are enlightened, come to a greater assurance of your walk in salvation and who we are in you. We ask, just as there's no error in teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. But every man together as a church will be made to see Jesus, and as we see, we see ourselves as Jesus in him. We ask that every man here will be edified as questions are answered, light shed upon our heart, and your name will be glorified as we walk in our salvation, which is available to us in your name, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Just welcome 2-3 people to church this morning and have your seat. Right. So how many of us did a walk on the book of Hebrews? From the book of Hebrews? Many of you did a walk. I see your hand. Alright. Now let me say this quickly. And that's quite very funny. If you're told to do a walk in the scriptures, are we together? Go do it yourself. Do not use ChatGPT. Is it clear? Alright. I'm addressing that because that is happening. So, if you go to ChatGPT to get a summary of a Bible text, you have a demon affecting your life. So, don't do that. If you're told to do a walk in the scriptures, you sit your buttocks down, you open your Bible, then you do the walk. Is it clear? You can do it line upon line. You don't have to do a Bible walk over a whole week. That way, it gets you into the scriptures on a daily fashion. You know, thank God for technology, but technology cannot do the work of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Alright, so open the service like that this morning. I mean, that's very funny. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy, which is our text, can I have some volume, please? Volume. In 2 Timothy, which is our text, chapter 3, we're looking at salvation, and we're trying to answer some basic questions on the subject of salvation. Basic questions. That's what we're doing. We're always answering questions. So I'll pick it up from where we stopped last week. Hallelujah. Alright. So, we did a little opening last meeting. We have to continue in the same thought. Are we together? Alright. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and then 16, it says, all scriptures start from 15, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. We said the word knowing there has to do with an appreciation, to know the value of something. That's the word known in verse 15. The word is, you know, and let me just of uniformity. Excuse me, it's not a rule, but if you're using the Bible that is not the King James Version, try and get the King James Version of the Bible. Is it clear? It's not a rule, like I said, but it's that uniformity helps to drive some points home. You know, I've been personally in my private moments 15 minutes every day to reflect on the church and
part of the things I've been trying to answer in my personal times. I actually do that at night, around 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. every day, or beyond that. And then, I mean, I've been getting to bed about 3-4 a.m. daily, past couple of weeks. So, all the things I've been doing is to, and the night time is just for me to study, and then I just want to study, because I've been having a very, very clumsy day. I mean, very clumsy day. So, you know, part of the things I've been doing at those night times is to take some 15-20 minutes to just reflect on the church, and then just cast my mind over the church and try to imagine and look into the church. What habits or choices or decisions there be in the church that affects how promptly or properly people grasp the word? And I just do that work. It's a mental work, obviously. And sometimes some things are just revealed to me, then some other times I just feel it's just common sense that you tell the people to do this, tell the people to do this. So I'll in, is it clear? I'll bring times an area you've not been observing, and just say, whoa, so missing piece to you understanding Bible doctrine. Church, you know, just get a copy of the Bible and get KJV, is it clear? Just get KJV. Like I said, it's not a rule, is it clear? All the Bible translations are, at least arguably, about 80 to 90% of Bible translations. I mean, they are. So, did the work and all that. And some translations come out very wobbled and bad. But, I mean, give some kudos to those who have embarked on such a work. Is it clear? All right. So, some of us, if we're told to translate the Bible, you probably do worse. Praise the Lord. I mean, you've not even understood the one in your hands. You're even told to probably read some 10 Bible texts in the course of a week. You have not read it. I mean, so just give some kudos to, not kudos, but I mean kudos to those who have done the work. Praise God. All right. So just get a copy of the Bible, make it KJV. Coming into service, come with your KJV. And then maybe sometimes in your own personal study, you can open other translations of the Bible. About 10 to 12 translations consistently. I use about 10 to 12 translations consistently, including Bibles that are not translated. Read them. Amen. All right. So that's just a little bit of work, just a little bit of work I do before I show up here on Sundays. Amen. Okay, so talk about much others later. So it says in 15, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make the wise through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we said salvation through faith is in Christ Jesus. The salvation that Jesus provides, the salvation that Jesus gives, is the one that is true faith. Hallelujah. Are we together? Or the salvation that God gives is the one that is obtained or received through faith in Christ Jesus. Then it says in 16, all scripture, are we together, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now I know some folks say, oh, the scripture here, is it referring to the Old Testament books, or does he also refer to the letters of the apostles? It's not really much of an argument per se, but if you look at the use of the word scripture within Paul's letters to Timothy, you observe the scriptures refer to the Old Testament books. So, it says, the Old Testament book, all scripture, the contents of them, it says, is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. It is for reproof. Someone said doctrine. That's a bad English. The correct English is doctrine. Doctrine. You also learn English in church. Have it together. It is profitable for doctrine. Then, for reproof. For correction. Which is a word to set aright. To set aright. It is for instruction. Which is used for nurturing or development. Development. It is for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, it is, may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Now, without taking time at all, let's take a dive into the book of Hebrews, right? Thank you. So look at this. I have quite some story to cover this morning. He says, God who sundry times was sworn diverse manners, so chapter 1, in time past, unto the fathers by the prophet, as in this last days spoken unto us by his son. Now, over the years, I just had to be silent this year, but over the years I've shown you that the word by is actually the word in. In the Greeks, it is translated en. En is a Greek rendering of the word in. Now, when the apostles use the word in, it is not referring to, it simply refers to union. For example, when it says you are in Christ, are we together? You are in Christ. It means you are in union with Christ. Hallelujah. That's the word in. To be in union. You are in union with Christ. That is what in Christ means. When it says in him, or in whom, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, his blood. We have redemption through his blood. In whom, union with him, there is redemption. Are we together? It means redemption is present in him, in union with him. So when you see the writers of the epistles use the word in, it is used to describe union. Are we there? It is used to describe our union, the believer's union with Christ Jesus. The believer's union, thus, you know, I can put it differently and say, the believer's union with in Christ Jesus. The believer's union with the Father in Christ Jesus. The believer's union with the Father in Christ Jesus. You know, if you don't get that accurately, you might begin to have some slight issues in your faith walk or in your understanding. For example, you know, you might be thinking that when we say in Christ, you know, when it says the believer is in Christ, you might be thinking that the word in would be likened to, let's say, when you have water in a bottle, right? Right? Now, in is a preposition, isn't it? Can I get English today? A preposition? In. So, you have the believer in Christ. And then, you begin to think, you begin to imagine that what the Bible text is saying is like when you put, what is it in? A meat in a pot. Right? You know, that's also in, isn't it? But if you observe the Bible, the writers of the scripture, that's not how they were explaining their in. If that's the way you see in, you might still have some issues in your walk with God. Because your walk with God is a direct translation of your knowledge of God. When your knowledge is precise, are we together? It helps your walk with God also to be precise. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. It helps your walk with God to also be precise. You have the word in Christ. You know, so it's not referring to, for example, look at this. Look at this. You know, if you ask someone today, it says, where is Daniel? He's not a prophet. I wish to get that, but his brother Daniel. So, brother Daniel. You know, someone who saw him walk into the church says, oh, he is where? In the church auditorium. He is in. That's a preposition, isn't it? Isn't it? Where? Okay, so, give. Where do I put the offering envelope? I put it where? In the basket. That's the preposition, right? And that's beautiful. But did you know that if you see it that way, did you observe that I can take the envelope out of the basket? Right? Can I pour the water out of the bottle? Can Brother Daniel go out of the church auditorium? Are we together? So you have in and out. Isn't it? In and out. Are we together? So, in there is preposition. That the way the writers of the New She used the word in. They didn't use it like that. Example, when someone say, if any man is in Christ, look at what that can make you to do. If you don't understand what they are in Christ mean, you can begin to think it can go out of Christ. Did you see that? That's how your English preposition should be can affect your knowledge of the Bible. So we have to go and study, what did the apostles mean when they use the word in? Then we discovered that the as used by the apostles was to describe union. Now, look, do you that I can say Brother Daniel is in union with the church venue? Does that make sense logically? Does that make sense logically? Daniel is in union with the church venue. It doesn't sound like it makes sense yet. Except the person has to explain what it means by union to you, right? Now, look at this. If I put the offering envelope, if I put it into the offering bag, that become one with the bag? No. In fact, the reason why I can bring it out is because it is not what? One with the bag. Are we together? But look at this. When the scripture teaches, it is a union. It is a what? Union. So it means that the believer is one with the Father or one with Christ. Glory to God forevermore. It is that the believer is united with the Father. Someone say united. Someone say united. Someone say united. United with who? With the Father. Look at Jesus begins to explain that unity. He says in John 15, he says, I am the what? I am the vine. Then he says, you are the what? He says, you are the what? You are the branches. To God forevermore. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, see something there. See something there. He didn't say, praise God. He didn't say, you are the branch. He said, you are the what? Branches. Now, does that mean I'm not the branch? No, it doesn't mean you're not a branch. But that statement helps us to see that God sees you in the midst of others, not alone. Is it clear? Is it clear? He addresses you in of what? Of others. Amen. In the what? Praise God. No, we said that a lot of time already. So look at this. My identity is known in the church. Never alone. When alone, you don't know who you are. When in the church, you discover who you are. You know, I'm not talking about church service. Okay? I'm saying that what God says about you is what he actually says about his body. You are known in the body. God's address is to the body. He addresses the body. If you are found in the body, you begin to know who you are. So never see yourself as a Christian in isolation. In isolation is where confusion dwells. And when you have confusion, you have all manners of evil works. So he explains God. Eden as union. So if you look at Hebrews 1, he says, God who has sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Okay. As in this last day spoken unto us by who? By his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We are explaining this text sometimes later on. He made the worlds. The worlds. You know, you find that words from the Old Testament. There are two words in the Old Testament books that explains the concept of the world as is in the New Testament books. So look at that. Can we take three together? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down, being made so much better. Alright. I think you and I need know. I need to slow down now, right? Right? Okay. So let's get back into the mode of our study mode. Good. So he says, so much what? Better than angels. I told you, than angels or angels. Than angels or than the angels. So, our specific spirit personalities being referred to here. Thank you. Where are we going to find these angels? Old Testament what? Books. Is it clear? Is it clear? Alright. Now, when he says, be made so much better than the angels, he says, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent what? Name. We said the name there has to do with what? Office. Right? Name there has to do with function. Look at me, everybody. If you read the book of Hebrews, and then he says, I need your thinking. I like that face. I like that face. That's it means your thinking cap is on. I like that face. I can see it on your faces. When your thinking cap is on, I will see it. Alright. So look at this. Is so much better than the angels. By inheritance obtain a more excellent name than thee. We said the more excellent have to do with more excellent what? Responses. A more excellent what? A more excellent what? A more excellent what? Wait, by office, can we call it function? Okay, thank you. By office, can we call it position? Can we call it authority? Okay. So, A more excellent name is a more excellent what? Office than who? Than the angels, isn't it? So look at this. Pay attention. Without stressing at all, when he says he has obtained a more excellent function than the angels, what do you think he's talking about? What was his function? Look at verse 3. When he had by himself done what? Purge. See that? So he means light of people. See, people is already telling us that there is no salvation in the hands of angels. Is it clear? Is it clear? The writer of Hebrews is already showing us that salvation is not present with what? With what? Angels. Or with the angels. You get it? So, don't forget we said that the book of Hebrews is also a book of what? Notice I did not say the book of Hebrews is a book of God. That would be a shabby way. That's how to know someone who is not listening well. I said also a book of... Did you get it? Did you get it? It's also a book of... Did you get it? I didn't say, oh, I didn't come to you and say, oh, the... I didn't say that. I said the book of Hebrews is all of comparisons. That means the comparison part explains the way by which the lighter... Do you get it? It's just to describe the argument method or... So, you can't say it's a book of teaching styles or... No. There's what the book is. But we observe that the way the writer taught in that material, the work he wanted to do in the minds of his audiences, the style he used, are we together, was what? Is it clear? And I told you something about... When the writer of people is comparing, he is taking their audience from what? From what is being currently practiced by them, driving them home, are we together? Or turning their heart, amen, into what? What is true, what is real, what is eternal, what is available where? In Christ Jesus. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. We did trial last week and the other week. To be attention. I think it will be my 8th or 9th year, or about 11 years. And saying what I just said now. To be attention. Are we together? So, he says, be made better. So, over the comparisons again. So, we said, he compared what with what? What's the first thing? Huh? I can't hear you because there are many. That means you are all saying different things. That's why I can't hear. What's the first thing he compared in the book? You've left verse 1. He compared what? The Father together. Are we together? With who? The Son. Now, look at this. Do you think he could have been saying that the Father should contradict the Son? Do you think he was creating a dichotomy between the Father and the Son? Or he was showing us that if you believe the Father, you will turn to the Son? Right? So he's helping them to see the intent of what he's describing as that which is of the Father. So the comparison is not to point out that this is wrong, this is right. Is it clear? The comparison is to persuade them into accurate worship. Is to persuade them into the true intention. The reason for you having been given what you have now is because of what I've brought to you. So hey, drop it and embrace it. Do you get it? Goes to compare what now? What does he compare? Jesus, the angels, what else? Quickly. Up. Sorry? I can't hear. Jesus Christ and where? Up. Chapter 3. Compare. He compared him with what? Did he compare him with Joshua? Or he compared, and did he really compare with Moses? Now, he compared him with Moses, right? But what was the comparison? What was the grammar? What was the comparison? The tabernacle of what? Moses, right? And the tabernacle of who? Of Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? He compares the tabernacle of Moses. He describes the tabernacle. And then he compares it with the tabernacle of who? Of Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? Now, what else did they compare? Joshua and Joshua, right? 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 Joshua and who? Joshua. The New Testament, Jesus, and the Old Testament, what? Joshua, which is rendered as what? Joshua. Is it clear? Now, what was he comparing with them? The rest. Right? Or we can call it the promise. Amen? Of a land, as it were. We'll look at that in Christ's Zebuchadnezzar coming in 2026. Is it clear? Yeah. The notes are getting ready. Amen. So look at that. Look at that. He compares the rest, or we can call it the promise. What else did they compare? Jesus and what? Aaron. Now, what was the comparison there? The priesthood. Thank you. You got a bright mind this morning. Priesthood. Right? So we call the Levitical priesthood. Are we together? With who? Which is found in Aaron. With who? With the priesthood. Not the Levitical priesthood in Christ, but the priesthood in Christ. The priesthood in Christ is not a Levitical priesthood. We saw it last week. That he said, if it was pertaining to the flesh, this man that we are talking about, referring to Jesus, would not have been a priest. If it was pertaining to the flesh. That is, if it were to be pertaining to the lineage, he would not have been described as a priest. Because he is not in the lineage of the priest that Moses established, which was Levi. Are we together? Alright. So, he compares the priesthood of Aaron and the Levitical order, priesthood that is available in Christ. And look at this. Just for precision's sake, let me say it this way. For precision's sake. You should be around in our Bible seminars, okay? Alright. I keep some things back because of service and it's because of understanding. Alright. But in the seminars, I give it out fully. So look at this. Just for clarity's sake, he compares the Levitical priesthood with the priesthood in Christ, and he compares the high priesthood of Aaron with the high priesthood of Christ. Because yes, he said Christ is a priest. He goes forward to say he is a high priest. Now, Aaron is not a mere priest. Aaron was the high priest. Are we together? So there is that comparison of the Levitical order stood there with the priesthood in Christ. And more precisely, he then goes to the high priest himself. I didn't say chief priest though. I said the high priest. There are two different things. Amen. So he goes to the high priest himself. To make him in Aaron, and the high priesthood found the Christ. Let me burn that. What next did he compare? Up. Okay, so he compares the Christ, Jesus, Melchizedek. And what was the comparison then? So he uses what is written in the Old Testament about the priesthood of Melchizedek to mirror the priesthood of Christ. Why contrasting that with the priesthood of what? Of Aaron. We'll get into a little bit of that shortly, okay? Okay? I see your faces already. What do you say? We'll get into that. Alright. So, what else? Up? Up? Blood of Jesus, he compares it with the blood of what? Abel. Thank you. You took me to Hebrews 13, Hebrews 12 already. Wow. You didn't take shortcuts home. Did he compare the blood of the Old Testament animals and sacrifices? He compares the blood of Jesus with the blood of the Old Testament sacrifices. The Old Testament sacrifices. He compares that also. And then he said that the blood of Jesus could perfect, right? Or can perfect, or has perfected. Okay? But perfect, and the blood of the Old Testament, calves and doves and bulls, are we together? Could not what? Perfect the worshippers. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now, I'm not sure if we mentioned. Is there any other thing? Okay. What other thing? What other comparison have we? Or had we? Or did we make? Up. Yes, we already. We already said that. Okay. Sacrifice. Okay, so the one sacrifice of Jesus and the multiple repeated sacrifice of the Old Testament. Thank you. I think you read that. Did I mention that? I know I mentioned. It's okay, it's fine. You read that. Okay, that's good. What else? I think we've exhausted that. So, what we should go over. So, we said the book of Hebrews has some, we know there are some points, right? Right? We said, first of all, the writer and the audience had the same national heritage. They were Jews. They spoke Hebrews. So the book is titled Hebrews. Are we together? All right? So when you see the use of the word us, in the book, I told you that don't just assume us is addressing Christians. The writer is also talking to people they have the same tribe and culture. So you could be mentioning us, but it's referring to a particular concept that they share in common, having the same natural lineage, and not necessarily because the audience is born again. But you will also see sometimes he used the word us, and it's referring to the audience that is what? Born again. Do you get that? Do you get that? So, background. But don't forget, I think we started with the one we're supposed to start with, is by saying that the background of that book is what? Old Testament books. Isn't it? Now let me add one more. It's an epistle. Then it is also fulfilled. It is a book of spiritual growth. Because that's the nature of the epistles. materials for spiritual development. So the book of Hebrews is also a material for spiritual growth. It has varying audiences, right? What were the audiences, or who were the audiences we described? Number one, we said there were people, Jews obviously, already what? Believed. They were saved. Amen? Then, we said there were Jews who has not believed, are in doubt. Is it real? Is it not real? Is it real? Is it not real? Are we together? Are we together? Is it real? Is it not real? They were in doubt. Are you sure? Well, we have been practicing this for a long time. How? So we don't have to offer animals again? Are you sure? How dare would our sins be forgiven and atoned for? God has instructed us to bring the sacrifices every year. He said Jesus died as our sacrifice. A human being? I'm not sure. They were not. So he writes to them also. Are we together? And then the last audience also, which is also addressed, were people who were what? Stony hearted. They were the ones coming to say, you are not wise. It is God that commanded us. They can't come and tell us nonsense. Those are the stony hearted ones. Have made up their mind in what? Unbelief. Some other audiences have not made up their mind. But some has made up their mind also in what? In faith. Is it clear? You find those three audiences being addressed in the text. So I said this, I think as we closed last week. I said, the book will do four things amongst many other things, right? Number one, plain, we are just starting our study. Starting. Good. It will explain the Old Testament to us. The book. Are we together? It will explain, it will teach the Old Testament books. And you will observe that in how that the characters, the illustrations, the scenarios that were painted in the book can always be found in a particular portion of the Bible, which is the Old Testament. It shows that's where it's teaching and explaining from. You will find Psalms being mentioned. You will find, look at Hebrews 12 for example, quickly. Or Hebrews 11. Are you there? It says, by faith, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his what? Okay. Because they were not afraid of what? You know, he didn't have to mention the king. He wants you to go and read it, right? You now see, oh, it is Pharaoh. Right? But whatever he's describing, can it be tracked down within the books of the Bible? That's what I'm saying. Then he mentioned speaking of blood in verse 28. He mentioned the Passover. Is that the Old Testament? Look at 29. He mentioned Red Sea. So by the time you look at what he did in chapter 11, if you look at what the writer did in chapter 11, now, chapter 11 was the conclusion, or is where the conclusion of this book began. When you write a letter, you write paragraphs, you write introduction, you write paragraphs, then you write conclusion. The conclusion of the book of Hebrews started from 11. That was why he said now. Now, when the writer of Hebrews says now, faith is. He's not saying now, right now, faith is. I like a preacher that said, he just went into level. He says, faith is now. Abba. That's not how to read the Bible. There's something saying, faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is not in the past. Faith is now. That's not what the writer is saying. The word therefore. That's the word now there. Why did he say therefore? He has been building an argument since chapter 1. Are we together? And to build that argument, he had to do many comparisons. So after concluding on all the comparisons, like I told you, it's a scholarly work by a scholar. All Bible writers were scholars, including the book of Mark. Even though Peter didn't really go to school, but the writer was a scholar, Mark. Are we together? All Bible writers were scholars. If you are not a scholar, the book is far from your understanding. If you can't study patiently, focus, follow through thoughts, find out idiomatic expressions. The Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Idiomatic expression. Not as a dove. Now you put out the logo of your ministry. You put dove there. Why? He said that's the Spirit. How? He says like. The dove is never a symbol of the Spirit. Is it clear? And he used to explain. He says and remained upon him. So the writer is adopting figurative. He's not saying the Holy Ghost is a dove. When he says, behold the Lamb of God, is an idiomatic expression. Jesus was not going in the back garden. He said, no. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of is an idiomatic expression. So, if you are not good with English, you can't understand the Bible, at least the one translated in English. You have to be patient. And prayer for truth. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So you have to be patient. So it says, now faith is. The word now there is the word therefore faith is. He says therefore because he has built an argument from chapter 1. It's a book of persuasion. He wants to persuade people the same way you go out on evangelism. And it's to persuade people into faith in the midst of multitude of objections in their minds. Some are false doctrines, false persuasions. Some are just lazy persuasions, feeble excuses that holds no water. But you just don't want to believe. But you have been given a task to bring men into faith. You are going out with full knowledge, howbeit in the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't have the power of the Holy Ghost but be an ignorant man. God's work will not be done. You will not be different from an herbalist. Because you have supernatural things, yet no information about God. You're not different from an herbalist. Is it clear, church? Persuading. So having persuaded one, five, eight, those six, one, eight, then 10, definitely it comes into 11, and then he says therefore this is faith. Now look at this, look at me. When he says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, he's not even talking about faith to you. He was describing what faith meant to the fathers, what faith meant to an Old Testament man looking at the promise of God ahead of him, not you.
You are looking at the promise fulfilled. They were looking at the promise ahead. So Hebrews 11:1 is not faith for you. It is the Old Testament saints. Is it clear? So that's why the next statement he begins to make after Hebrews 11:1 is by faith Abraham, by faith David. That's faith to Abraham, faith to David, faith to Samson. There was a promise ahead of them of the Messiah, of a promise. Are we together? God gave Abraham a promise of a land. Is it clear? So Abraham will look forward. So what is faith to Abraham? Hebrews 11:1. But to you, you are in the land. You are in the rest. Joshua was giving them a promise of rest. Follow me, I will take you to rest. So faith for them is that they kept on looking ahead. They kept on fighting the wars. Hebrews 11:1. Faith to men in the Old Testament. The focus will be same. The fruit of the narratives we did. Yeah. Okay? I'm not giving us as much background as possible. What else? What other background should I give it? Okay? I don't want to give. So, you now see scenarios. So look at, you know, that another entire study. You know, I can literally send you back home again to read through the entire book of Hebrews again. And that's why, by the time we are done with this study, I'm sure you must have read the book of Hebrews about 20 times, naturally, without being instructed. Because I'll come back again, I'll give you some hints that are so robust enough for you to go over the book again. That's the way I study. That's the way I study. So, if you look at, we could literally say, let's go back home and confirm. If the characters, the narratives, the scenarios, the occurrences that the described, can they truly be confirmed in the Old Testament books? That's another story. We can go home and confirm that. I will tell you this. He mentions Cain. By mentioning Abel and Cain, he wants you to go and read it. Four chapters in one verse. He wants you to go and read it. By mentioning Enoch, he wants you to go and read Enoch. By mentioning Noah, he wants you to read of Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 8. He wants you. By mentioning Abraham, he wants you to go and read from Genesis chapter 11 down to Genesis chapter 16. He wants you to read Abraham. By mentioning Isaac and Jacob, he wants you to read 16 to Genesis 50. Then he says he looked for a city which had foundations, whose building and maker is God. By mentioning Sarah, he wants you to read again Sarah into 16, 17 of Genesis. Are we together? But look at it. It means the writer starts in Hebrews, starts from Genesis. Conclusion. Back to Genesis. He mentioned Abel, Genesis. Why did he not mention Adam? Because Adam was not in faith. He didn't mention Eve because she was not in faith. Then he mentions Cain. He mentions Abel. Are we together? The mention of Cain was because of what he wanted to mention about Abraham. He had nothing to say about Cain. It was Abel he wanted to talk about. He said he made more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The discussion was not Cain. Cain was not in fit. The discussion was Abel. Are we together? Mention still in Genesis, Abraham Genesis, Sarah Genesis, Isaac and Jacob Genesis. You will not see Isaac and Jacob as persons in Exodus. You only see them mentioned. Are we together? Are we together? Okay. Sorry, I'm taking more time before getting to our study. Let us follow me. Now, what else did he mention? So he moves from Genesis, he moves into Exodus. Abraham still in verse 17, he's still in Genesis. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. That was an event where in Genesis. Jacob, when he was dying, that's Genesis 48. By faith, Joseph, when he died, Genesis 50. By faith, Moses, Exodus. By faith, Moses, Exodus 24. Sons of Pharaoh's daughter. You will not see Pharaoh in Genesis. You will find Pharaoh in Exodus. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. When the affliction was not Genesis, that was in Exodus. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Treasures of Egypt is a phrase that describes Exodus. He forsook Egypt, Exodus. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover, Exodus 14 to be precise. Lest that he that destroyed the firstborn, Exodus 14:15. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, Exodus 14:15. Which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned, Exodus 14:15. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, he has moved into Joshua. Are we together? He says, after they were compassed about the 7 days. So you see, all of these scenarios can be tracked to the Old Testament books. Rahab, Joshua still. When he received the spies, are we together? Are we together? Then look at this. And what shall I say? Now, when he says Rahab, what book is that? What book is that? When it says Rahab received the 2 spies, what book is that? What book is that? Rahab received the spies. What book is that? Rahab received the spies. What book is that? What shall I say more? For the time will tell of who? Gideon. What book is that? Huh? Barak is which book? Samson is which book? Jephthah? David? Samuel? Could the writer be talking to people he knew were strangers to the Old Testament books? No. So he was just reminding them, have you forgotten Caleb, Joshua, this and this? You get it? You get it? Who through faith subdued what? Kingdoms. Lot what? Righteousness. Look at this. By the time you see Lot's righteousness, it shows you that these guys were preachers of the gospel. We'll come back to it in our study, Faith in the Gospel. Obtained what? Promises. Stop the mouth of what? Lions. Where did it take stop the mouth of lions? But look at what he's doing. Is he talking about Daniel or talking about the guys who fought war in Judges? He was talking about the guys who fought war in Judges, but he used Daniel's scenario to describe what he did. Are we together? See, look at that. That's a scholarly writer. Or a scholastic. Are we together? They quench the violence of fire is in Daniel, right? 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 He didn't mention Daniel, but it's there. Out of weakness were made what? Strong. How? By entering into the furnace. Are we together? They waxed brilliant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Is this still in Joshua? Is this still in Daniel? Eh? Is this still in Daniel? Is it back to Judges? Did you see that? So he's using what Daniel and his guys did to explain. What is he trying to show you? That Daniel that is 14, that's several centuries away. Are we together? Abraham from let's be sure of the fact I just mentioned now, and let me also correct myself at the same time. Look at Matthew 1 quickly. Hold your hands in Hebrews. Look at Matthew 1. Are you there? In verse 17, if you are there, just say amen. Okay, so let's read together once we go. All generations from Abraham to right? About 28 generations. Now, where will you find Gideon and these guys? Between David and who? Abraham. Are we together? Are we together? You find them there. So about the space of 14 generations. Are you with me? I think 14 generations is about 30 to 35 years. Times 14. Are we together? Because that's a generation. 30 and 40 years is a generation. Then you have 28 generations rather. Times 28. And look at what the writer of Hebrews is doing in a scholarly fashion. He's showing us that the battles Daniel fought without lifting a sword was the same battle that Samson fought with the jawbone of an ass. That they had the same pursuit. The ones who took swords. Are we together? He said, pursued, walked righteousness with the ones that were thrown into flames of fire, who in weakness became strong. So he's linking Daniel's day with who? With Moses' day, Joshua's day. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? The same way, look at me. Look at me. It's just very safe to say, I wouldn't even want to say that now, but it's just safe also to say that the one that Samson picked and Joshua picked sword to fight is what we are fighting today by the preaching of the gospel. Are you listening to me? That is what we are fighting by preaching of the gospel. So, He links the days together. He makes us to see a common vision pushing forth the cause of God to fill the earth with His glory. Now the question you might ask have now, which I will not answer, but I will acknowledge it, is that why then use swords? Right? Or why not we also use swords? Is it clear? It is lack of understanding that will make you to use what? Swords. Like some religions currently do when they want to conquer places. There is a reality of the world then. Are we together? Are we together? That you justify the use of swords and your own world is not like that. Which will tell you that the use of swords was not actually God's intention, but that was what he could have at that moment. Are you with me? What I just mentioned now is like a whole year's study. We'll come into it, don't worry. So that was what God could what have. Because of the state of the world then. Is it clear? Is it clear? Because in those worlds, if you do not get up to stand your ground, you will be what? Moved upon. That was what was in that world. And they were idol worshippers. And if you are moved upon, you will worship their idols as slaves. So it was necessary that God stands with his people as they fought away what will wipe them off. Is it clear? The same way today, he stands with us, with the supernatural, as we go ahead in his mission. So, I've not answered the question. I just acknowledged it. So look at this. They turn to flight the armies of the aliens, Old Testament. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Wow. He has gone back to what? Second Kings. Right? 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 Elijah, right? Raise the dead. Others were tortured, not accepting what? Deliverance. That they might obtain a better resurrection. Are we together? He says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. That will refer to the prophets, like Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was killed. Yeah. The prophets, scourgings, moreover, of bonds and what? Imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. That was the prophets, actually. Jeremiah, Isaiah, and co. They were tempted. The word tempted there, it does not mean they were tempted with sin. It means they suffered persecution. That's the word tempted here. Persecution. They were slain with the... They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. That was Isaiah to be precise. Are we together? Being what? Destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. David is mentioned. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not what? The promise. God having provided some better things for what? For us. That they without us should not be made what? Perfect. Are we together? Explain this text later. But it shows that what they were looking for, are we together? And what we have now found is the same. So we will know what they are looking for by understanding what we have now found. But look at this. Let me bring it back into context. The writer of Hebrews is saying that we will know what David and the prophets were looking for by understanding what he is telling them to do what? To receive. Is that clear? Is that clear? Let's do something. We said, amidst other things, the book will explain the what? The Old Testament, right? Then we said, the writer also seeks to invite the unbelieving Jews to do what? To believe. He seeks to invite the unbelieving Jews to do what? To be and receive what? Salvation. Isn't it? Thank you.
Then the second thing he will do, which is the thought, is that he will convince the unconvinced ones, audience. He seeks to convince unconvinced ones or audience, are we together? To believe. Are we together? By explaining the difference between their current fulfillment which is available where in Christ. Is it clear? What is the second thing we say he will do? He invites the what? Unbelieving. Can we call them the unpersuaded? You know, we can use our own terminologies, okay? Alright. So can we call them the... Well, okay, just give me a word to use. Give me a word to use. To differentiate them from the ones he sends up. On what? Third line. The second line. Weak believers, no. You guys are. They are hard hearted. Should we judge them? It's not like we are judging them. This understanding tends to talk about the third line, the stubborn, adamant. You guys have the words. So, which one should we use? Okay, there's a scholar there. Give out. I know you. No, you. Devote, Eric. I don't know if to cry now. Give us more English. Small English. More English. Unyielding. I want you to believe. No, yield. Repentance. Okay? You use unrepentance. Let's use unrepentance. So, unrepentant ones, okay? So, he invites the unrepentant ones. Are we together? To do what? To believe and receive what? Salvation. Now, can we complete that clause? It looks incomplete to my mind. By right? You know what he did to them? He warned them. By warning them. So, just find a way of writing it somewhere. You know when you are feeling something and then you have, cause you just want to script, just put it there. By warning them of, so give me the words of what? Judgment. That's like too look at me everybody. When you are teaching, teach so clearly that what you are saying is known by your audience, and your audience also know what you are not saying. Teach so clearly that the audience can assume this is what you mean. It is clear. Is it clear? Alright, so let's use right words. Teach so clearly that your audience is not assuming, is this what it means? No. Teach, let it be clear. Spot on, precise. So, he warned them against what? Against what? Can we say the consequences of not believing? Or can we say punishment of not believing? Thank you. So by warning them, consequences of not believing. I'm liking these sessions already. Now, what's the third one? We said the book we do. Which is the second audience? The second audience was third point. We said he does what? He convinces the unconvinced one. So look at this. We cancel the word convince. Put the word persuade. He persuades the unconvinced ones. Is it clear? Is it clear? To do what? Okay. Then, what is the fourth point, the third audience? He reassures
audience concerning their what? Are we together? And urges them, look at this, to both practice their faith with confidence. You know what that can mean, right? When there are 1,000 people and a good amount of them, I do not believe. The another large amount, not sure. And there is a little fraction that has believed. You want to strengthen the faith of that particular one. Are we together? So, he does what? Read on. To both practice our faith with confidence and to move on to spiritual development. Are we together? Are we together? Praise God. So let's look at some text together from there, and then I'll close. Are you with me? Chapter 3 again. So you see writing between those lines. So I clearly want you to go and do the study. I'll study everything for you. Look at chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, we do refer to the, so what are our terminologies? Who should we first classify? Should we classify believer last, or we should put believer? Let's put ourselves in first class. So, the same, but believer. Unrepentant, okay. Unconvinced. No problem, I follow you. So, only brethren, is it believer, unrepentant, or unconvinced? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Did you get that? Who was faithful to him that appointed him, and also Moses that was faithful. So, notice that midst of the comparisons, the audiences were also addressed. Comparison was an argument to do his work to different audiences. He this or to persuaded or to warn the what? Unrepentant. The way he went by doing the three works, look at this, look at me. See, there's a whole lot to learn. The writer never emotionally blackmailed his audience because he wanted him to do something. He stuck with the scriptures. So Paul will say the scriptures are profitable for what? Setting aright. Don't blackmail people. He put the scriptures to them. The ones that are saved, he used the scriptures to assure them. The ones that are not yet persuaded, convinced, he uses the same scriptures. The ones that were stone-hearted, he uses the same scriptures. He shows them their judgment from within the scriptures. He didn't come with a vision. He didn't come with what? A vision. Did you notice that this is a common practice of the apostles and Jesus? There was a time that you all give a parable. Let Lazarus go and tell my five brothers. In hell, he was told, they have the scriptures. Go to hell with your vision and heaven and hell. Go to hell with it. The scriptures. Are we together? Go to hell with your experiences that are not in line with God's word. I'm not saying expenses are wrong. I'm saying there's what we call the authority of scriptures. The authority of scriptures. So it sticks with it. So the argument or comparison was his style to convince the unconvinced, to warn the unrepentant, to assure and inspire worship to the who? To the believing. Are you with me? Are you with me? For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house had more honor than who? Are we together? He that built the house had more honor than what? Than the house. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. And Moses was very faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Now look at verse 6. This was the text I was looking for last week. So look at verse 6. I knew. So I was very disturbed. Can we read verse 6 together? I want to go. But Christ has a son over his own house. So wait, in comparing Moses and Jesus, I said the comparison was comparison of the what? The tabernacle, isn't it? And what was the tabernacles? The one Moses built, and who? You. Whose house what? We are. Then Moses is what? In all his house. So, in comparing the tabernacle of Moses with the tabernacle of Christ, he explains the tabernacle of Christ as the church. A people. That's why he says Christ is an high priest into a tabernacle that is not made with hands. So the church is the tabernacle. What happens in the tabernacle? Look at me. I told you last week that the tabernacle that the high priest goes to offer what? The sacrifices. Because it now shows us that the tabernacle had different portions, right? Then it says, there's one behind the veil where you have the mercy seat, right? And then you have the cherubims, you know, facing, and then the book of the law, and then Aaron's, what's it called? Rod that budded. Then you have the showbread there. You have the ark of the covenant. So the ark, where the blood is applied for the atonement of sins, is present where? In the tabernacle. Are you listening to me? The ark, where the blood is applied, it can be dealt with. The ark, which has the mercy seat, is present where? In the tabernacle. Please deal with your fools. It's insulting. It insults the entire assembly. Are we together? And what we are doing currently? The ark, where you have the we'll go into the Old Testament, you see, that the blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat, which is a portion, the surface of the ark. But my goal is this, for you to see that the ark of the covenant that bears the mercy seat, where blood is applied, before we can say sins are dealt with, that ark is present where? In the tabernacle. So look at me, everybody. Wherever Jesus applied his blood is in you, not in heaven. Or a particular heaven. So if we are told that Christ offered his blood in heaven, then the question is, what is the heaven of the writer of Hebrews? We have done enough work in this church for you to know that a word does not always mean the same thing when it is used. Because the word heaven simply describes what is not sin. So it can describe a part of man that is not sin. Is it clear? Is it clear? Heaven. What is unseen? What is away from the purview of physical senses? So he is saying that it takes the blood in the tabernacle under Moses in the same way of the new covenant
Jesus, the Son of God, takes in what? The blood. Now, I told you already that you didn't see Jesus holding the calabash of blood. Did you? Did you? So that shows you that, wow, the writer of Hebrews is using something to point to something. If we read the Old Testament books well, we will see the work of Christ properly. Are we together? Are we together? So he's showing us. Now, when he says the blood of Jesus, and Jesus was not carrying blood, that means there's what he wants you to see as blood is in his writing. There, he says he offered it in heaven. And he's telling you that you are the tabernacle where the blood must be offered. Ah, as he offered it in heaven. So the writer of Hebrews wants you to see heaven as something is in his book. Don't let any preacher tell you anything. It's in the book. It's in there. So he describes tabernacle. He describes offering. He also says in the tabernacle, it is the high priest that goes inside. He is now describing Jesus as the high priest. So there's a way he wants you to see Jesus when it comes to salvation. You know, there's a way you can see Jesus as the one who sits to reward us on the last day. He is also the high priest. That amen will make sense to us as we go on. That he is not just a judge. Are we together? Are we together? He is also the one, see, he is not just the judge, the one that qualifies. His work is also to qualify people. And he wants to qualify the world. So you find him in the midst of those two functions. As God, who rewards service in his body, as that one, Savior, all humanity into his body. So you must differentiate between what is the gift, the bringing into his kingdom, the bringing into his body, and reward. Are we together? Are we together? You have to separate it. He is the same person. Two functions. He judges, rewards, but he's also the one that what? Redeems. So you must know. So which one is reward? Which one is a gift? Like I said. So let's read on. Let's just read on. Are we together? So it says, whose house what? We are the word house, there is the word household. Household is the word oikia. Oikia is from the word oikos. Oikia is used for a family. A family. So it says, whose house we are. Now when it says we are, is this an address to the believer or all of his audience? Eh? Someone say all of his audience there. The believing, right? Thank you. Look at verse. He says 7. Wherefore, as goes there today, if ye harden not your what? Your heart. In the what? Provocation. In the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Now it says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works. Wherefore I was grieved that generation. So I say, I swore in my rod that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, look at 12. Take it, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, what will the departing from the living God be? What do you think that will be? Will be to not respond positive to the word. To the message of the God they claim they are worshipping by the practices. The same God he said you're worshipping has brought you the message of a work he had done. So, people out of unbelief will address those that have not what? That are not yet convinced. Brethren, lest there be in any of you
lest there be in any of you, is to convince them, is to persuade them. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence up unto the end. While it is said today, if you harden not your voice, harden not your heart, as in a provocation. So it says they should not harden their heart. Why? Because they are not yet what? Sure. This is the audience that is not yet sure. Harden not your heart. There are some of them that are already hardening their heart. Are we together? Are we together? Look at verse 16. For some, when they had what? Heard. Did what? Provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of what? Egypt by Moses. What does it mean by not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? That is, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses were what? Were what? Huh? Let me help you a bit. That statement provoke. Look at me. Tell us it doesn't look at me. Amen. So look at this. That word provoke can be used both ways. Provoke will describe what you did to somebody else. Provoke will also describe what happened to you by what someone did. Are we together? So read that text now again. Verse 16. For some, when they had asked, did what? Okay, so the context gives us that now. Were they provoked or they provoked? How did they provoked? What is the context you are reading? There are people were doing what? In unbelief. They rejected. They rejected the message. So we can say that they provoked God. Are we together? You are going to read it later in chapter 4 when it says they tempted me. God was saying they tempted me. So they provoked God by what? By their evil, despite the goodness and the message that Moses was preaching to them, which was saying that it was the message of life. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Don't forget camp meeting, right? That Moses preached. Did you get it? So read verse 16 again. For some, so not all that came out with it out of Egypt by Moses did what? Read the text again. For some, when they had asked, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses did what? Provoke. That means not all of them that Moses brought out were in unbelief. Is it clear? See, follow the text. Go back to verse 15 again. You are right. Go back to verse 15, people of God. Let's read together. I want to go. If you will hear what? Is that the message? Is that the message? So a particular portion of the Old Testament books, if there's a particular scene in the Old Testament books that is described as what? Provocation. Because it was the history of a period where Israel conquered God. You are going to read severally. They went to make calf when their pastor was on the mountain doing retreat. Their pastor went on retreat. Yeah, pastor, I'm a boy on the pardon. And then they just brought a calf. They knew how to build calf. A mighty calf. They used their earrings and their necklaces and their jewelries. And they told the assistant pastor, Aaron,
He was the one. He built the calf. If you go back to that text, the Bible said they now bowed down to worship the calf. Look at what they were saying. They were thanking the calf for bringing them out of Egypt. Now let me tell you, they were intelligent people. Don't say they were dumb. They were not dumb. They knew that what they were thanking was not the image. But I've told you the culture of that world, that the physical statue you are seeing is to mirror a supernatural being. Somehow, they were convinced that it was a supernatural being that brought them out of Egypt, but it was not the one Abraham was worshipping. So God said, I was the one. Times when Moses showed up, you will see him saying, God said, I am the one that led thee. And why does God have to be saying I am the one? Because they were the people. They knew exactly that the supernatural was at work. I mean, science is not physics, an electron that will split waters now. They knew. The waters parted. They had been used to supernatural signs all throughout Egypt. There was a time they were in light, and when they looked back, they saw darkness. The darkness was thicker than my clothes. Moses said they could hold it and they could cross through the darkness with knife. It means it was not shadow, it was a wall of darkness. So thick they could cut it. That was the supernatural side. There were times they didn't have meat. Suddenly, there was quails from the ocean. Supernaturally. And the Bible said, the sea, that it was as tall from the floor to their waist. And it was round about the camp. Supplies all around. By the power of the Holy Ghost. You didn't catch that. Are we together? It was all round about the world, the camp. Then Moses said, when they went to take the quails, he says it was a journey to the forward, the north of the world, of the temple, a whole day. That's 12 hours. So to get to the last point that the quails reached, it was, and it was this tall. Then it says to the back of the tabernacle, the same tent rather. To the right of the tent camp, the same. To the left, the same. Up to here, 12 hours journey. Yet, after they ate, they started complaining. Israelites. They started complaining. There was a time that it was manna that came. They had not eaten it before. A supernatural meal. And it was so plenty, they kept on eating. Moses said, don't take the next day's food. They took it. So they were a kind of people. Well, 430 years in idol worship. So God looked at our God was compassionate. But they were provoking. They were rejecting his salvation, his love, his compassion. It's like someone that just consistently loves you and you consistently stab and does not stop loving, and you keep stabbing and you keep betraying and you keep stabbing the person. That's provocation. So that entire 40 years journey is described by the writer of Hebrews in one word. As in the provocation. Are we together? So it was a day, a season, years rather, of what? Unbelief, worshipping idols. At the time, they told Moses, they said, you see that? We will not go again. Because the practice was that anytime God was going to show up to address them, the people would come near to the mountain, the Sinai. Then they would see supernatural. They said, we are tired. Pastor Mabawa, no. You will go for us.
Don't worry, whatever he told you, we'll do it. Abi, guys, we'll do it. Will you not do it? We'll do it. Before he returns, he will meet idols. That was the, despite the miracles, and the miracles were also accompanied by a solid ministry. It was that audience that he taught the book of Moses to. What you are reading? Exodus. It was that audience he gave Levitical order to. It was that audience that he taught the law again as the book of Deuteronomy, explaining bit by bit, what they should do. Yet, we will not do. You will find that same audience where the ones that now led to him not entering the promised land. Okoba. They cobalized him. Are we together? So that was the kind of audience Israel was. But the writer of Hebrews is now saying they were not all like that. Did you see that? We didn't even get into what we have today. It's fine. So look at this. He says, what text are we? Verse what? Is that 3:16 or 4:16? 3:16. For some, so let's go on. When they had asked, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Did you see that? Now look at 17. But whom was he grieved? How many years? Was it not with them that had what? You must at me. He shows you that the sin will not necessarily be stealing. The sin is unrepentant. That is, they were unpersuaded by the gospel. That was to not believe the gospel. Later on in chapter 10, when we now see, for if we foolish, are we together? Bear in mind what the sin is. Is it clear? Remained no more sacrifice for sin. That means that he cannot go to heaven. Sin, and then the sin catch him there. Happen? Because you are wicked. You are wicked. Amen. So look at this. Was it not with them that had seen whose what? Carcass fell. What a good English. Carcass. Are we together? Fell in the what? Wilderness. Can we say 18, everybody? To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, okay? But to them that believe not. So the sin in verse is that unbelief in verse 18. Now look at chapter 9, verse 19. Everybody want to go? So we see that they could not enter in because of sin. Or because of what? Unbelief. Are we together? Let us therefore what? Fear. So, it will not refer to the believer. No. He is persuading the convinced. Unbelief. Are we together? So he now says, let us therefore fear. Can you see why the books should not be chaptered? Because chapter 4 verse 1 is simply the continuity of the same paragraph. That means today, all of us, we can sit down and study this text well and re-chapter. We are not going to do that, okay? Just leave it alone. But I'm saying what you can do. Did you see that? One, let us therefore fear, because I went to the writer of the book of Hebrews, it's just 4 chapters, not 13. It's just 4 main bodies of knowledge, 4 arguments. So it says, let us therefore fear, it says, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to what? Come short of it. Wait.
Look at verse 18 again. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. He now says, let us therefore fear. Now, do you that the people 4 verse 1 were not the same fell in verse 18? Do you agree? But why does he link them together? That means whatever lest was being led them into is a sign and symbol of the current rest that the writer of Bible is preaching about. Did you get it? Did you get it? You didn't get it. Okay. Look at verse 16 again. For some, when they had had, what did he mean by when they had had? That means what they were supposed to respond to was a message. What happened? They rejected or they provoked. Howbeit, not all that came out of what? Moses. The writer is saying some people got into rest, some people did not. He now says, but with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was he not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? Wilderness is Exodus. Are we together? 18. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? I'm following, right? Now look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear. What concerns us? Did you get it? He says, let us therefore fear. He's talking to his audience. Let his audience also what? Fear. Now, the fear, is it will be perishable or reverse something? Isn't it with reference? Don't trivialize. Is it clear? So let us therefore fear lest a promise be left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. So what has he done? He has created, like I said, his Bible seminar. Interestingly, his Bible seminar will use different terminologies. I'll not be dragging like this, but it's okay. He uses an identity unifier between his audience and the audience of Joshua or Moses. An identity unifier. I've explained that to you over the years. What identity unifier is. I've mentioned to you what codified language is, right? I've explained identity unifier to you, right? Alright. So imagine I didn't use identity unifier. It's fine. Let me explain. I can explain a terminology without using it. And you don't know that's what it is. It's okay? So, he locates in his and warns them of the attitude they were having. He locates Moses' audience in his own audience through attitude. And warns his audience of that attitude. Did you get it? Did Jesus do the same? Just go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes shall be baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. That's exactly what Moses did. Moses is locating Moses' audience in his own audience. And if he sends you out to preach, he's asking you to also locate Moses by attitude. So some have the same attitude with who were the people in unbelief. Give me an example of people in unbelief.
that went to worship idols. I mean, children of Israel. They have not read their Bibles. Eh? The sons of Korah. Who else? Who was this guy that went to bring, you know, Ito, that went to bring fire? Huh? Huh? Into the temple. That was Achan. Are we together? Those were men in unbelief. So there are some people today that are in the same shoes of those guys. Just like you and I are exalted today to be in the same shoes with Joshua, with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. Are we together? Is the Bible making sense to you? Are we together? So you know your tribe. Is that clear? I'm of Abraham. I'm of Joshua. Amen. I'm of David. I'm of Caleb. Gideon. You know you can say I'm of Samson without the woman issue. Well, recognize Samson as a prophet. Praise God. And David too, without the Uriah issue. Those are just like blemishes that those same people wished was not in their story. Don't do things you wish was not in your story. Praise God. So look at this. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Can we take verse 2 together once you go? For unto us was the gospel preached. Okay. So gospel. Did they hear the gospel? Just like the audience of the righteous people hearing the gospel to the men in the wilderness. Gospel. Did they hear the gospel like us? Did they hear the gospel like us? So we had the gospel just like the audience of the writer of Hebrews, just like Moses. So the gospel is the generational faithfulness of God to be preached to all men. Are we together, church? So look at this. For unto us was the gospel preached, and unto them, but preached did not profit them. Wow. Was it that the word was powerless? Oh, was it that the word was powerless? Was it that the word was without effect? Was it that the word was powerless and without potency? But we are told in Romans 1 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Why then did they perish? Why did their carcass fall in the wilderness? Why did they not enter into his rest? He says, the word that was preached did not profit them. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Why? If word is preached, is to be believed, to be saved. Why then are people damned? Is it that the gospel is without potency? He says, for the gospel, the word which was preached unto them, he says, did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in their hearts. Unbelief makes it look at not presence. Unbelief. He says the word was not mixed with faith. Whoa. The word was not mixed with faith. So he's dealing with his audience who has not had faith. He says didn't promise them. He didn't profit them. For we which believed do enter into rest. Oh, so it deals with the believers now. As he said,
that have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in this Adam place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest 7 days from all these works. And in this place again we shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein. Why does it remain that some must enter therein? That some has not what? Believed. And they to whom it was first preached enter not because of unbelief. Again, limited in a certain place, saying in David, today after so long, it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua, not Jesus now, if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not have spoken of another day? Therefore, he rests to the people of God. Where? The people of God here. Is he deceived? No. The people of God here will refer to the unpersuaded, but because, are we together? They are Israel. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? But he calls them people of God because they are the nation of what? Of Israel. So look at this. He says, let us labor, oh, to enter into that rest. Is this addressed to the believer? Why not just read your Bible? Look into your Bibles, please. He says, let us what? Labor, therefore, to enter into that what? Rest. Will this address the believers? Is this an address to the believers? To labor and enter rest. Is it an address to the believer? No. Are we together? Are we together? Read the next statement. Oh, so is this referring to believers? No. Let us labor. Are we together? To enter into what? That rest. It's not an address to the believer. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the laboring? Faith. Faith. It means to be diligent. Faith. To be diligent with the information, to understand it, in order to have faith. Let's read on. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is addressed to the unbeliever. That God knows your heart. You have not believed. If you have not believed, you can't be saved. The word of God is sharp. He can see into your heart. It's to persuade the unbelieving one. Neither is there any creature that is manifest in his, that is not manifest in his sight. This is a warning. Is it clear? Is a warning. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him. In other words, God is the one that judges faith. He can't. Is not a statement to the believer. It's to warn and persuade, to convince the unpersuaded. See there, priest, that is passing to the Abijah Son of God, let us hold fast this profession. Now, when he says, look at this, let us hold fast our profession. It looks like he's dealing with believers in the word our is italicized. Hold fast this message. The word profession there is the word confession. It's the same word homologia. It means what is preached. Hold it fast. Fast. Are we to? Why does he say they should hold it fast? Because it can slip away from their hands. Is it clear? Is it clear? It can slip away from their hands. Let's back up to chapter 2 and then we'll begin to close. Chapter 2. At all, okay? It's not just to show you that. Keep your mind focused. Not started studying. You are just reading the Bible. That's what we're just reading. I'm just showing you how to read the text, understand. Just showing you context. That's all. That's just like the simplest walk in Bible study. That's what we are doing this morning. Right? Look at verse 2, chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed
to the things which we have had, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Is this referring to the believer or to the unbelieving or to the stony hearted? Okay, you gave me the words, right? Let me stick to your words. Is it referring to the believing or the unrepentant or the unconvinced? Which of them is he referring to? Are you sure? He says, therefore, we ought to give a most earnest heed to the things which you have had, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Are we together? Definitely, this is not the believing one. Look at verse 2. It will now be clear. For if the word spoken by angels were what? Steadfast. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Oh, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So he's not talking about unconvinced. He's talking to the unrepentant. And he's warning them of what? Damnation. Are we together? Read the text again. If the word spoken by angels, it says, and was steadfast. Steadfast means unmovable, as it is, the command, how to do it. And every transgression and disobedience received a commensurate, that's the word just, a just recompense of reward. That is, he received a commensurate consequence. How shall we escape if we neglect what? Which was first spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that what? Had him. God also bearing what? Them witnesses with both signs and wonders and diverse miracles, the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to the word. Look at verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection whereof we speak. Wait. Take that text again. To the angels, has he not put in subjection the word to come? Wait. The word to come, is he referring to that is ahead or the writer of Hebrews is referring to a dispensation as the word to come according to the Old Testament? Because it says, whereof we speak. Whereof we speak is referring to the noun of the old, of the Hebrew writer. The period of the resurrection, which is the times that we are in, or that the writer of Hebrew was writing, that time is what he calls the world to come. Why does he call it world to come? Because in looking back into the Old Testament, the period of the fulfillment of those signs and symbols will be world to come to them. Is it clear? Does that make sense to you? World to come is not that. Is it clear? Yes. What to come is a language of the Old Testament to the period of the Messiah. It's in the entire book of Hebrews that talks about. Why then do you think that's what it means by which we speak? Whereof we speak? Whereof we speak was to contrast the Old Testament practice, are we together, from the current thing they should be doing, which is to heed to the resurrection of who? Of Jesus. So in pointing to the Messiah that will save, and his resurrection, and when the Messiah is still being in the future, we will call the period of the Messiah the times to come. The word in the scripture is the word aeon. It's used for activities.
activities. That's the word world. It's different from the word earth, elect. Are we together? It has to do with the activities of man. The word aeon, the activities of man. The activity of man. Age is used to describe man's activity on the earth. It's another word for dispensation. It's used to describe man's activity. It might be different from the previous age. That's why the ages are changing. But look at this. The period of the Messiah. When the Messiah will come, offer himself as a sacrifice for sins. Standing in the Old Testament seasons, describing the world of the Messiah as the activities to come. The world to come. So today, what the writer of Hebrews is saying, the world to come, is not only that it is 2025. It is actually the very time he was writing. In fact, before he started writing, the moment the Messiah shows up in time, and begins to carry out the fulfillment of the scriptures. Another word for that is last days, which refers to the period in the resurrection. Last day is the Old Testament description of what has been said in the prophets is now being fulfilled. Does that make some sense? We'll pick it up again next Sunday at our study. So look at that. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience, disobedience, that's another word for unbelief, receive the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Look at verse 25. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come. Wait. You have started from chapter 1. When did he say that he did not hand over rule to the angels? Go back there. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. He says, wait, let me help you a bit. Look at verse 1. Let me help you a bit. Since that's what we are doing today, let's just do it well. Is it clear? Then we'll get into Bible text next week. God, who has what? Someone give me the word for sundry times. Polytechnic. That is it. Who is that polytechnic? You have the word polymeros, and then you have polytropos. Sundry times, diverse words, manners. Sundry times, look at this, means different ages, dispensations. It will make sense to you now. Follow me carefully. Speak unto the word. Fathers by prophets. Did you later see the fathers in Hebrews 11? Did you see that they were far apart, right? I was telling you at the time, you will find Daniel being linked to Joshua and Moses, right? I don't know, 28 generations, 28 times 40 years apart. So the various times of... Are we together? Or the various times of the prophets is called polymeros, polytrophos, sundry times, diverse manners. Sundry times, diverse, nursery rhyme, sundry times, diverse manners. Again, sundry times, diverse, once again, sundry. You are too mature, Davi. That's why you don't know Bible. Some of you are scratching your head. Catch it well. I want to close. Amen. Don't lose it. Verse 2.
as in this. Oh, when did he call last days? When the sun showed up. Is that what you read? Did you see that? So, the sun show up. Why did the sun show up? Read the next verse. I thought you answered me. It's in the text. Read it. So, the rightful was inheritor of what? Oh, I don't want it. Of what? Of the utterances of what? Of the prophet. So, the son shows up to fulfill utterances of the what? Prophets. The period of showing up the utterances of the prophets to fulfill them is called the last. Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? So last days is not when a guy shows up, a white man who is in the military, in the U.S. Army, with four wings and three horns. And they begin to fly around the world, giving people charcoal on their forehead. We see this is. He said, oh, the last day. And then he said, all the world, you're going to use U.S. dollars. To hell with Naira. To hell with Yen. To hell with cities. Everybody will use, that will be Naira. Everybody will use U.S. dollars. One currency. Then say, everybody should come. Put a chip in your forehead. Put a chip there. They'll be blinking. Bing, bing, bing. See. Bing, bing, bing. Bing, bing, bing. Hey. Sugar cane. In the market. Just shoot them. So they will bring the sugar cane close to your forehead. The thing. You can go with it. Payment system. Some of us think that can never happen in this world. Are we together? It's a payment system. They want to COVID-19 vaccine. He sees. That's how they want to give. How daft are you? I collected it, and I'm teaching Greek and Hebrew now. And you are understanding it. Are we together? Are we together? Are we there? He said, oh, 666. Then, what will happen? He said, they will bring world order. Then, don't have trouble, rulers. At the time, they said, Obama. But that's never happened again. A black man will become the president. They now came out with animations of his face. As his face was, they were now trying to, you know, compare his face, comparison, compare his face with the shape of the face of the Antichrist. Then he said, the beast will come from the water. I said, that's the Atlantic Ocean. How daft are you? That the water in Genesis is not physical water. How can the water in Revelation be physical water? And those two books are even visions. Are we together? The waters refers to nations. It's declared, church. It's declared, church. So that's not what it's referring to. The last days are not the days of the enemy. They are the days of our Lord. It's declared, church. These are the days of our where the gospel will get into places that it is completely, look at this, you would not believe that the gospel will get there. People you have taught, you relegated and said, this post can't be saved. Look at what he's putting on. He's putting on tattoos all over his body. He can't be saved. Then the man will come around and begin to speak with tongues. Are we together? That is the last days. Those are the last days. Gospel getting into unbelievable quarters. Those are at the scriptures, the last days was that Peter was praying in Acts 10, and in the midst of fasting and praying, look at that, the guy got up and was hungry, fell into a vision. In the trance, he then saw the sheep came down from heaven, and there were all kinds of beasts in the sheep. Are we together? And then he saw, and eat, you know, Lord, that is unclean all my life. He got the vision three times. And the Bible says, upon the third time, he said the word came to rebuke him. He says, whatsoever I have won, peace, thou have sent. The Bible said they were at the door at that time. And then by word of knowledge, the Holy Ghost told him, three men are with thee. Are we together? Go with them, doubting nothing. Is it clear? You all know how it went. Why Peter yet speak? He says the Holy Ghost did what? Fell. Are we together? It actually did. It meant embrace. The Holy Ghost couldn't wait but to adopt it out. He couldn't wait. He couldn't get it to say, oh yeah, stay after me. No, I want another child. Are we together? Because he is the Father. He wants as many children. So when he showed up to fulfill that he spoke to the fathers, those periods are called the last days. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? We're in the glory days. We're in the glory days. We are in the glory days. Where things will happen. God will break your theological barriers. Are we together? You will see sons of Avalis, children of Avalis, in their rooms having visions at God to prepare the minds of that Gentile guy. Who were the Gentiles? They were idol worshippers, or Batala worshippers, or Sun worshippers. Are we together? The angel of God had gone ahead of Peter. So while Peter yet spake, there was already faith in their hearts. We're having that disease. It is by the move of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. It is by the move of the Holy Ghost. Are we together, church? He says, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost embraced them. What was the sign? They spoke with tongues. You can be preaching the gospel, someone speaking in tongues while you are still preaching. Because the work of the Spirit had bypassed your own sequence. Faith had been battered. Are we together? Faith had been battered. While you are still explaining, faith had been battered. And the guy, Lord Jesus Christ, then opened his mouth, filled with the Spirit, and they spoke with tongues. Are we together, church? So when we say last days, I'm going to pause for a while. Are we together? Because of our time. When it's the last days, it refers to the period of the fulfillment. So the showing up of the Son of God, the showing up of God in the flesh to fulfill the promises which he had made. I won't say unto our fathers. They are not our fathers, right? But we can say to the fathers, or we can say to the saints of the Old Testament books. Is it clear? The promise which he had made to them, when he showed up to fulfill it, that period of fulfillment, glory to God, is what? It's called the last days. And we are in the last days today. Because the promise is still being fulfilled. Why? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among what? All nations. Are we still preaching today? So look at this. When we preach the gospel, we are walking in God's plan for the last days. It's not an activity. It's not an extracurricular activity. Preaching the gospel is the mission of the church. I'm a man of God. He goes everywhere in the world preaching the gospel. I see his crusades and I say, oh God. You see, he might not even be preaching the doctrine you're preaching,
Are we together? Are we together? God is reaching the nations. If you now have the light of God's word in truth, it is only proper that you also go out there in the nations. Is the clear, church? Do we have men and women here called of God, yielding the call of salvation? They are walking the plan of God for the days. They are walking the plan of God of his salvation for the last days.
Glory to God forevermore.
Let's have a song.